Thank you for listening to this podcast from TheUnheardNerd.com. If you like what you hear, please consider liking, sharing, reviewing, and subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcast feed of choice, and help us to keep creating and improving our content. Thank you.
TheUnheardNerd.com.
Radio Mass places a disc.
And now our feature presentation.
Thanks for accidentally pressing play on a podcast you've never heard of. This is Betamax and Laserdisc, the TV and movie podcast from TheUnheardNerd.com. I am Will, and with me, as always, is my trusted hetero life partner, maybe not quite. It's John. How are you doing, John?
I'm good, Will. Hello, everyone.
Hi. We haven't prepared at all for this. but we are recording at the end of May. So this is the May podcast you'll probably be hearing in June. unless I can get editing pretty quickly, which is unlikely because it's my birthday next weekend, John.
Wait.
It's my birthday on Saturday. And I share my birthday with such amazing artists as Kylie Minogue.
Ooh.
David Baddiel, who UK people might know as a comedian and writer, and the guy that wrote James Bond, Ian Fleming.
Ah,
he's dead though.
He's dead.
He's dead.
He's dead.
And also unconfirmed, possibly Bugs Bunny, but I'm not sure about that one. possibly. Sorry about the phone interference there. I'm not sure which end that was, but that will come out on the show. Yeah, so possibly Bugs Bunny. I'm not sure. Unconfirmed on that one. John.
Yes.
John, it's been a whole month, and we're back again, just like the Death Star. We're back stronger than ever. and I suppose we should start where we usually start, with what have you watched since the last time we recorded?
Okay. I have seen Zootropolis / Zootopia / whatever it's called in your country.
Yes. it's one designed to confuse the kids, because, you know, as I said in the last show, I was showing my kids the trailer for Zootopia for months, and I was like, yeah, it looks really good. I was like, come on then, let's go see Zootropolis. What? No.
It makes no sense.
What did you think of it?
I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good film.
It's good, isn't it? There's lots of nice little Easter eggs in it that, you know, if you have kids and you've been forced to see other Disney films, that make sense. I don't know if you've got boys, you might not have had to sit through Frozen, but
I'm luckily not to not have seen it. Yeah,
but there's a character in Frozen called Weaselton, and he insists on being called Wesselton. Mm-hmm. In Zootropolis / Zootopia, there's a character in there that they call Wesselton, and he's like, my name is Weaselton. It's a nice little callback. I was probably laughing in the wrong places in the cinema. I was like, ha ha, get it. Did you get it? Never mind. It's a good film, isn't it?
It's a really good film. There was actually one Frozen joke I got where the police chief gives this speech about, I can't remember what it's about now, but it sort of roughly describes a character from Frozen or something, and at the end of the speech he goes, let it go! It's like, I haven't seen the film, but I get that one.
Yeah, it's full of Easter eggs, and I like the Breaking Bad Easter egg as well.
Oh, that was a bit... As soon as I saw the setup, it's like, oh, come on, they're going to throw a Breaking Bad reference in here, and the two bad guys turn up. It's like, Jesse, Walter, come here. It's like, there it is. And it was too easy
in the yellow suits and stuff. It's like, yeah, it's good. There's some good sort of, well, potentially good kids films out at the moment or coming out very soon. Haven't been to see Jungle Book yet.
No.
What are your thoughts on what you've seen of that from the trailers?
Intriguing. I'd like to give it a watch, see how it turns out.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not a musical, is it? I don't think there's any songs in it. It's just
there are a couple of songs. They do sing the Bare Necessities, which is Bill Murray singing that. And I think there's one other song, famous song that is in there. My colleague at work, my real job, has been to see it, but
all right,
I couldn't really get much sense out of her. She. Yeah, I don't know. She went to see it as an adult without her child, and
It's okay.
Yeah, which is perfectly fine. But she couldn't really fill out much of the plot for me. But I'm guessing I know the plot pretty much. It's just this is a CGI and live action version. Pretty much everything is CGI except the kid in that film.
That's what it looks like, yeah.
Which it sounds like quite an achievement. What else is that? Alice in Wonderland looks, or the sequel to, it Alice Through the Looking Glass, maybe?
The sequel no one wants is what I call it.
Is it really? I mean, I didn't go and see the first one.
I saw the first one with the missus. We were both very bored by the end of it. And went, oh, is that worth it? Mm. And then they announced a sequel and you go, why? Who wanted this?
It must have made some money. And what else is out for kids? I mean, it's coming up to half-term holidays here.
But, Angry Birds soon?
I was going to say, the big one that we've all been waiting for is... I mean, if there was a film that nobody needed, that's it, really. But
Well, I can appreciate animated films take a long time to produce, but this just feels completely the wrong time now. It's like, Angry Birds, that's so... last year, and poor sods going, but we've been working on this for like 2 years now.
It's going to be phenomenally successful, you know that, don't you? We used to leave our iPads unlocked around the house, and the kids, you know, from time to time would pick up the iPads and start playing Angry Birds. But my youngest, being cunning, soon figured out that there's a section where you could just watch Angry Birds cartoons.
All right.
Rather than playing the game. So she would sit there for hours, watching these cartoons, and we'd be like, what the fuck is she doing? And then we'd find out. I mean, you know, a full-length movie of that, she's captive audience. She will sit there and lap that up any number of times.
I mean, I've read a couple of reviews out of curiosity, and they just it sounds like they've literally made the game into a film and not really tried to explain hardly barely why.
It really is.
Birds throw themselves at pigs. Why? Because that's what happens in the game.
But that's what kids want to see. You know, they don't want to think about it. They just want a little bit of slapstick comedy and a very, very loose plot to follow. It'll do really well. I mean, I honestly expect that I will have to go and see it with the kids, and I do expect that it will mess with my head almost as much as Moshi Monsters, the movie, did.
Oh, cool.
And that was a complete head fuck. I didn't know what Moshi Monsters was before going to see that film. Oh my god! I know what acid feels like. I've experienced a very legal version of acid. That film is fucked up. I mean, seriously, if you haven't seen it, don't go. Don't put yourself through it. I'm sure I'm going to get dragged along to see at least one kids movie over half term, because I'm off for a few days with the kids. But what I am going to see next Saturday as part of my birthday treat, did I mention it's my birthday coming up?
You might have done it already.
I might have mentioned that. I'm going to go and see, and I know the reviews haven't been glowing or anything, but we're going to go and see X-Men Apocalypse. Because my wife actually is quite a fan of the X-Men films, bizarrely. You know, she's not really a superhero film person. She'll sit through the old one, but she does have a bit of a penchant for the X-Men. Bit of French there for the X-Men film, so we are going to go and see that on my birthday to see what that's all about. I've kind of missed out on Captain America Civil War so far. I haven't managed to go and see that, but it's not too late. It's still on,
there's a chance.
It sort of comes off a lot of cinemas on Friday, I think, but it'll still be in the massive multiplexes where they're like, screen 35. And I still haven't seen Batman v Superman, which upsets me somewhat, because I did actually really want to see that. I never got round to it. I never got the time. There's not enough time in the world. But
true.
But we kind of gone off on a tangent. What have we watched since last time? Is that all you've watched since the last time we?
I think just zoo insert Metropolis Topia slash here.
And. Well, I haven't really watched a lot either. I've been carrying on with my TV, The 100. Still continues to show potential, but never actually lives up to it. I've been watching The Flash, still way behind.
That's still going, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't got to even as far as the Kevin Smith episode yet. And I doubt I'll even notice when I get there, to be honest, but you never know. And other than that, you know, just creeping through Daredevil at a snail's pace. I watched a documentary on Back to the Future the other day. It's on Amazon Prime, I think, and it was I think it's like Back to the Past or something. It's called something like that, And it shows in the film, especially Back to the Future 2, future events or future predictions of things, products, services, and how many of them are actually real now or on their way to being real. So, you know, things like Pepsi Perfect was in the film, but and they actually made it in 2015. The Mag Nike Mag trainers as well have become a reality. And then they looked at the hoverboard and things like that. So that was an interesting hour of viewing. I think that's on Amazon Prime. So yeah, I watched a film last night, Saving Grace. I actually watched one film since the last time we recorded a movie and TV podcast. Watched Bridge of Spies, which on paper, what a wonderful sort of group of people have come together to make a film. It's the Coen brothers writing, directed by Steven Spielberg. Not that he's ever done anything good. And I jest. And Tom Hanks in the lead role. And it's as the title suggests, a spy film. Tom Hanks plays an insurance lawyer of some kind, and for some under some weird circumstances, they need someone to take on an impossible case defending a Russian spy, and he gets the job. It's a thankless task. People are going to hate him for him, but they have to give this Russian spy or suspected Russian spy a fair trial. He doesn't get a fair trial as such, but Tom Hanks then gets embroiled in this whole situation where he has to go to East Berlin and negotiate a trade between the Russian spy and a US pilot whose top secret plane was shot down and he was captured. But while he's there, he also finds out about another kid, American student that's being held there. And he has to try and negotiate two for one, in effect. And one negotiation is with the Soviet Union and the other is with the East Germans. And they're both getting the same Russian spy in trade for the people they're holding. It's actually a really, really good film. I can't really do it justice with my little synopsis there, but it's definitely, definitely worth watching. I love Tom Hanks anyway. I know that might be a bit naff to say, but I enjoy him pretty much everything he does. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the Coen brothers, as we discussed last episode, and I think it's definitely worth checking out. So, Bridge of Spies, if you get the chance, watch it.
Okay, cool.
Right, moving on. We're going to go a bit TV heavy this time, aren't we?
The American fall TV season has been announced by
Sorry, John. I thought you said fall.
Yeah, I'm being all American.
For our English listeners, the autumn schedule for America. Well, no, you're quite right. It's in America. It's American TV. It's the fall schedule. But
it's whenever Sky flash enough cash to buy up the series you want to watch for the UK market.
Indeed. What's coming, John? Because I don't know a lot about this.
Oh, there's quite a lot of stuff. I mean, we got old stuff coming back. We got brand new stuff. I mean, wow. Let's just go through a list. I mean, 24 is coming back with another sort of half series of 12 episodes in 2017.
Okay,
but this will be a series. It's entitled 24 Legacy, but it's without Jack Bauer.
Oh, it's like the Bourne Legacy without Jason Bourne or something
yes,
like that.
It's we still got the sort of the link here is we've still got the CTU, the counter-terrorist unit, but it looks like a Marine gets caught up in the terrorist shenanigans this time.
Oh, wow.
And there's a pretty explosive trailer for that online. That looks pretty good. I'm looking forward to that. See if it can do as well as the previous ones have done.
I've got a confession to make, John.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen an episode of 24.
Okay.
We own a whole season of it, the first season, but and my wife has watched it. I've never watched it. I've never seen an episode, so I don't actually know what it's about, other than it's kind of a man running around a lot in 24 hours.
That's pretty much it. It's Kiefer Sutherland running around taking on a terrorist threat in 24 episodes for about what, 7-8 years running.
I understand it was quite popular.
It is very popular. Well, the first time I watched it, someone went, you should buy it, it's really good, watch it, it's brilliant. So I took the plunge. I brought a season 1 and 2 box set, which is combined, and I should have gone to bed about 10, 11 o'clock or something. So I was at work and I went to bed at 2 in the morning. it's like popping one disc after the other. It's like, I've got to keep watching.
Addictive view in. Okay.
Yeah.
So 24 is coming back, 24 Legacy. What else?
Something I don't know anything about. I've actually got the season one box set at home. It's still shrink wrapped. Prison Break.
Oh, okay. Yes.
It's coming back for a limited run, I believe.
Well, all I know about Prison Break, because I've got a confession to make, John.
Yes.
I've never seen Prison Break. but I do know that the actor that plays the lead character in Prison Break is in The Flash.
Ah, right.
And he plays a character with a cold gun whose name I've forgotten. And he's also in that Legends of Tomorrow, because he becomes one of the legends. Is it Legends of Tomorrow or Legends of something?
Yeah, DC's Legends of Tomorrow, I think, is its proper title.
That's the one, yeah. So he's in both of those. I know the actor. I've never seen Prison Break. What's Prison Break about, John?
Well, Prison Break, all I know is that season one, a guy gets put in prison, I believe it's wrongly, and so his brother also gets arrested to be put in prison, but he's got a plan to get him out, and it takes the whole season to get this plan working to get them out, I think.
So as the title suggests, it may actually be about a prison break.
Yeah, so I don't know what happened in the other following, I think it went up to, what, 4 seasons?
Mm.
So I've no idea. Do they keep going back into prisons and breaking back out of them again? I've no idea.
Just an idea for a crossover. How about Prison Breaking Bad? Well, you know, it could work. You know, Jesse is in prison and, yeah, they got to break him out.
Possibly, could work.
I can see that working. I'm going to get dear TV people. I have an idea. Make me rich. Okay, so 24 Legacy, Prison Break Legacy, and what else is coming out, John?
I've just realised the list I'm reading from. This is all from Fox at the moment, so they've got a common theme running. You'll see in a minute.
Okay.
Lethal Weapon, the TV series.
Meh. Do we need that?
I actually really like the look of this.
Oh, right. Okay.
I have to admit that I did watch, in my late teens, maybe early 20s, I did watch Lethal Weapon 1-4, and my review of all 4 of them would be meh.
Oh, okay.
I really didn't see. Maybe if I watch them now, maybe something would click, and I'd like them and see them the way other people do. But I've only watched the ones, and I'm just like, I don't get it.
Even the one with Patsy Kensit in?
Was that 3, 4? I don't know.
Yeah. I think it was 3, but she got her boobs out.
Sorry. Can't improve the movie for me.
Fair enough. So is Patsy Kensit going to get her boobs out in the TV series?
I don't think so, no.
Is Mel Gibson in it?
No. I think no one from the original films is in this. It's merely the premise that's been carried into a TV series.
Okay. So, Lethal Weapon, the TV series. What else is coming, John?
The Exorcist.
Really?
Honestly, it's a TV series. I don't know how it's going to make a TV series. It actually reminds me of, I forgot what network it was now. One of the networks just tried to make a series of Damien.
The Omen.
That's just been cancelled off the first season. So if that didn't work, The Exorcist might have a long way to go. Or maybe they've cracked it. Maybe they know how to make it run into a...
I'm not sure how the premise would work, though, The Exorcist. There's a different person possessed every week, or... Yeah, I don't know.
No idea.
Strange. I'll have to investigate that one a little bit more, I think. But there is potential there for an X-Men and Exorcist crossover. Ooh. So the X-Men-sorcist or something like that. working title. Haven't really thought it all the way through. Dear TV people... What's next, John?
Continuing with Fox's theme of, oh, that was a good film. Let's make it a TV series. We've got Shooter, which I believe was the Mark Wahlberg sniper movie. I don't know if you saw that.
Got a confession to make, John. Yeah. I've never seen Shooter or even heard of it until now.
Okay.
Honestly. No, I have no idea. What's it about, John?
I don't know. I didn't watch that one.
I'm guessing it's some kind of marksman, but
I guess so.
Just a guess. Okay, is Marky Mark Wahlberg going to be in that?
No, no.
Oh, so some lower paid actor is going to take up that role.
That's right. That's
okay.
Right.
Okay. I'm starting to see a bit of a theme here. Okay. What else is coming, John?
Something different. One of the first, I think, about three time travel shows we've got coming this 2016-17 season. It's called Making History, where it's a comedy based around time travel.
Okay.
I can't really describe it anymore. You'd have to check out the trailer for that one. It does look very funny, though.
Is it a bit like Quantum Leap?
No.
Ah.
It's just, you see a man in 1800s New England, I think, and he sees some British soldiers turn up and he gives them some ham to make them go away, because apparently ham in that time is like gold. No one can get hold of ham. Mm. And he turns to the woman he's with and he goes, when do those folks turn up? And they go, oh, last night. He goes, didn't anyone start running around going, the British are coming, the British are coming, the American Revolution and all that? And she's like, no. He's like, see you later. And he runs off and he travels back through to present day and sees his friend who's a history teacher or something. And he goes, I have to ask you some urgent questions about the American Revolution. The guy's like, urgent questions? It does look really funny, though. That's one I'm waiting for.
Is Scott Bakula in that?
No.
Okay, all right, so just check in. It's definitely not Quantum Leap. That's fine. What other time travel TV programs are coming, John?
I know you're making me jump my list. one called Time After Time.
What's that about, John?
This is H.G. Wells and the Time Machine.
Oh, right, okay, I like that. I know of this.
Hey!
I like the version with Guy Pearce in, believe it or not.
Oh.
No, it was all right. It's okay. Don't judge me.
Okay, I won't. Yeah, obviously, H.G. Wells built the famous time machine. One of his friends uses the time machine to come to the present day. It turns out this guy is actually Jack the Ripper.
Oh, wow.
So H.G. Wells comes forward to our time as well. And these two people, out of time and out of place, are one's chasing the other and trying to stop him.
Oh, wow. That sounds quite interesting.
Yeah, it doesn't look too bad. Once again, you wonder, is this a chase that's going to last 24 episodes? I'm sure they've got... That's the problem with all these things. You watch all these premises and you say, this is brilliant, but how is it going to last for 24 episodes?
Yeah, there's always some like really filler episodes in the middle of seasons, yeah, where nothing really happens. And it's like a story that focuses on one of the sort of side characters.
Yes, there's always that little catch at the end of the first episode or something that makes you go, oh, I'm not going to watch the next one.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's interesting.
Got another, I think it's quite an embarrassing-looking reboot coming up.
Uh-oh.
MacGyver.
Oh, how are they going to fix that one, John?
Badly.
With a paperclip and some electrical tape, it'll be fine. It'll be a hit, I'm sure.
This is how bad it is. I mean, I can't know if it's just an animation for the transition or if it's there in the final logo for the show, but the V in MacGyver is a penknife with the blade opened up.
Wow, that's classy. I mean, you know, in this day and age, I guess MacGyver's going to be a bit more techie. I bet he has a sidekick who's like a techie guy who is like really good with like technology and can download blueprints and stuff for how to build shit, and then MacGyver will just MacGyver shit up. Is the original MacGyver in it, whose name I've forgotten?
Richard Dean Anderson.
I bet he is at some point. He'll be like MacGyver's dad or something.
Well, you say that, I think you might be spot on there, because in the trailer he says, my dad taught me loads of stuff.
Yeah.
So it makes it sound like, oh, we're hoping to get Richard in.
It really is formulaic, isn't it? It's like, you know, there's so many programs like in The Flash, The Flash's dad is the guy that played The Flash in the old series.
Yeah.
And in Supergirl, there's like Dean Cain and some other characters from, you know, the other Superman series and stuff. It's like, it happens a lot. It's very formulaic now. TV's becoming very stale, I think. They're coming back with these ideas that were films or old TV series, they're rehashing them, reinventing them. Yeah, they're more modern, but yeah, you know, they always bring in the old actor. It's like, oh, I remember him. Oh, bridging generations. Oh, I remember when he was Superman and stuff like that. And I think it's bollocks. I think it's a bit bollocks. It's all getting a bit stale now. But yeah, who am I? Who am I to say? I mean, yeah. What else is coming out, John?
The third time travel show.
Oh, we travelled back in time.
We travelled back in time to find it.
To find it, yes.
It's called Frequency.
Okay, what's that about, John?
It's an adaptation of a film that's already happened. I didn't know that.
Okay, what's the film?
A film called Frequency, where this guy realises he can talk to his dad through his CB radio, because for some film plot magic way, his radio is like transporting the message across time.
Do you know, I think I've seen that film somehow.
What was that? That was back in 2000.
I think...
I've seen that film. I've definitely seen that film. I can't remember what happens.
No, I can't remember anything about it, but I'm sure I've seen it. Oh, right, okay. Yeah, I don't know what to say to that, other than, okay, it's clearly not Quantum Leap, which is a shame.
No.
I think they should bring back Quantum Leap with Scott Bakula.
Really?
And Sam Stockwell.
At least give it a bloody finish this time around. don't put that sort of, we're not sure what's happening thing at the end they did. They sort of kind of resolved it, but left him leaping. God, that was annoying.
I don't really remember the
ending. Oh, okay.
I mean, I did watch it, but I don't really remember. Possibly I'm scarred by it and I've forgotten it. I don't know. Do you think Quantum Leap should come back? It was good. It's a good show.
I've got the first two or three seasons on DVD. Never watched them. Keep meaning to.
You've got a lot of DVDs you've never watched.
Yeah, I do a lot of impulse buying sometimes. Just put it on the shelf.
Just from memory, there's the Jurassic Park movies I think you haven't watched.
Yeah, on Blu-ray.
All three
films for a tenner.
Okay.
Obviously, I've seen them all, but I just haven't watched these particular copies yet.
Yeah, okay. I'm sure you mentioned one last week as well. Last week. Yeah, right. Like, we record podcasts every week. back in 2013, you mentioned last month. Okay, interesting. Don't buy John DVDs for anybody, because he doesn't watch them.
Oh, not true.
How many DVDs do you think you've got that you haven't watched?
Oh, they haven't watched? Oh, Christ. I don't know. We do. We tend to buy... We've got kids now, so even buying films is a rarity usually these days. We usually only buy the stuff that we really, really want.
To not watch.
Mostly at the moment. I mean, we've got Captain America Winter Soldier on Blu-ray.
Have you watched it?
We saw it in the cinema.
Did you watch it on Blu-ray?
I don't think we've watched the Blu-ray yet.
It's like, I've been to the cinema, I've paid my money to see it, and now I'm going to pay to not watch it.
Just thought of a reason. I now own a physical copy I can watch when I want, not when some digital streaming services says I can. Nah.
Fair enough. did you buy Star Wars yet? The Force Awakens?
No.
Okay.
I do have a £20 Amazon voucher gift from my sister, which I was going to slap down and purchase on day of release. But they did say a 3D version is coming later in the year. So I was like, put on the brakes. So I'm waiting for that one.
Fair enough. Okay, that's fine. We've watched that copy a few times now. Because generally I watch the films I buy. But yeah, that's just me. Crazy.
Oh, on a similar note, I think my youngest is getting into Star Wars, which is fantastic.
Oh, that's good news.
My 4-year-old boy, mostly because he plays Lego Star Wars on a Sony PSP.
All right, okay.
And he loves R2-D2, but he calls him Beep Beep.
That's quite cute.
And several times recently, we've been in the garden, and because he's only four, it's really cute. He doesn't know character names or anything, so rather than saying, you be Han, you be Luke, or something like that, he just goes, Daddy, Daddy, you be Star Wars.
All of it.
Just all of it. Be all of it, Daddy. And he goes, Daddy, you be Star Wars. And he sticks his hand out with his hand like clenched like a fist. He starts going, shaking his hand around. I'm like, this is fantastic.
Well, I took the girls to a pool party yesterday. It was our neighbour's son's party in a pool. Uh-huh. And I had to go in the pool because there's this rule about having so many parents per children. And you know, mm-hmm. being neighbours, you get roped into these things. And he obviously is quite a fan of Star Wars as well. My youngest daughter's quite a big fan as well. They're the same age. Mm-hmm. So very artistically, my neighbour had bought a load of pool noodles. Do you know these long foam tubes?
Oh, yes. My sons have got one each when they next go swimming, yeah.
she'd cut them in half so they were quite rigid and quite like straight. Yeah. And then taped handles on them to make them look like lightsabers. So there's like 20 kids moving around a swimming pool, just battering the shit out of all the adults with lightsabers. I had to pretend to die about 300 times yesterday, which is why I was absolutely exhausted and couldn't bring myself to record a podcast yesterday, or in part. But yeah, it was a clever use of a pool noodle, make a lightsaber. So that was fun. Shall we move on? Which of our sections should we move on to, John? Should we do trailer trash or should we do who we didn't interview this month?
Let's see who we didn't interview this month.
Who we didn't interview this month.
We've gone up in the world a little bit in recent times. We've had actors and actresses that we've actually heard of. You know, are on IMDb with a body of work behind them. We've had directors or the director of Inside Out, for example. We had the visual effects coordinator or director for the first three Star Wars films. And when I say first three, I mean the middle three, the good ones that we could have interviewed and didn't.
Do we have keeping it relevant to something later in the podcast, if I can pronounce her name probably, isn't it Olga Kurylenko?
Kurylenko, yes.
Who's in the new Star Trek film.
Is she?
Yeah, she's the one with the white face with the black stripes. I think that's her.
Oh, wow. Okay, interesting. I'm glad you said that. I had no idea. And yes, Olga, our friend Olga, we could have interviewed her. I couldn't be bothered. But unfortunately, this month has been a bit of a lean month in terms of review opportunities, as they're often worded on the emails. So we're scraping the bottom of the barrel, really. But not only have we not interviewed anyone to do with this film, but we have also been invited to the world premiere, which rather interestingly is being shown not particularly convenient for us in Los Angeles at the Chinese Theater, the theater where Star Wars, the original Star Wars back in 77 premiered, and on June the 10th that's happening. There's a premiere of this film at that theater, and it's a film called Beacon Point. The film is a science fiction thriller from rising newcomer director Eric Blue, who it's spelled Blue. If you go onto IMDb and check for Eric Blue, there's not much there. there's not an awful lot, but this is, I think, his first feature film. So good luck to him. He says he has won a Plum Friday Night slot at a film festival's exciting showcase of up and coming independent gems. So it's low budget. The Georgia produced Chiller, produced by Blue Lantern Films, so he's produced it himself, will play at the Chinese Theatre on June the 10th. The official synopsis reads, a group of hikers on the, Appalachian trail become lost and stumble across an ancient secret that threatens their survival in this suspenseful, surprising journey into fear. You'll never want to go camping again after sitting through Beacon's Point's unnerving 85 minutes. So it sounds amazing. I might throw the trailer up on the website just so people can see how amazing it should be. We had the opportunity to interview the director, Eric Blue, actress Ray Olivier, and actor John Briddle, who, John, his name rang a bell with us, sort of vaguely. We're like, yeah, kind of maybe know who that is. Yeah, we checked IMDb. We don't know who he is. He's been in things like such classics as Pretty Boy, Isabel, A Love Story. Just picking at random here, I'm sure everybody's heard of all of these. They're Misogynist, he played Trevor in that in 2013. He was in the only thing that we have heard of. Oh, actually, he was in 90210 in 2012. He was in, I love this one, 11, 11, 11. In 2011, he was What else was he on? He was in Knight Rider, the ship version. The new version. Where he played Dr. Yost. And that's, yeah. He's always been in CSI Miami. Yeah. He's done some stuff that we've heard of. But I don't know who he is, really. But good on him. He was in the Chronicle TV series. Power Rangers Wild Force. He was reporter number two.
Hey.
So unfortunately, yeah, with such a wonderful body of work behind him, we're not going to get to ask him any questions. So John Briddle really is the star of that film. He's who we haven't interviewed this month. Oh, it's a bit of a letdown, that one, wasn't it? No one, not really famous. But yeah. Stuff. So I get okay, let's ramp up the energy then, and let's go to Trailer Trash, which is actually a pretty shitty name for this segment, but I'm going to go with it.
I like it.
You like it? Yeah? We didn't really trash any trailers, though. We just said, that looks good. Yeah, that looks all right. Yeah.
The time will come. The time will come.
Time will come. It may well come now, because I think we left off last time with Jason Bourne, and you were a bit like, meh, whatever. Don't really care about Jason Bourne.
If we want to talk trailer trash, then what the fuck was that yoga hoser's shit all about?
patience.
Fuck.
So I'm taking it, so skipping ahead to yoga hoser's then, that you're not a fan.
I remember my friends taking me to the cinema, and they said, "We're going to go see a film called Dogma." Mm. I was like, "All right, okay." Come out of it, loved it to bits. I thought it was funny and it was just brilliant. And I ordered it on Region 1 DVD because I think it came out like, it's not so bad these days, but back then, you know, you could see a film in the cinema, go home, and probably order it from America, and then you get it the next week. Mm. And like, oh, it's by Kevin Smith, and went through his back catalogue. I think I actually worked through his films backwards, so it would have been
Mallrats,
Chasing Amy, then Mallrats, yeah. Chasing Amy, then Mallrats, then Clarks, and then Jane Silent Smith Strikes Back, Jersey Girl, which I know a lot of people hate, but I really like that one. I think it's a really good one.
Never seen it.
That was the Ben Affleck and his then girlfriend at the time. I can't remember.
Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah. I really like that story. And then what came after Jersey Girl? Was it Red State? No, there must be something in between.
There's Zach and Miri Make a Porno.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Love that one. I actually watched that one fairly recently. That's still a funny film. I still really like that one.
Okay. There was Clerks 2.
Oh, God. Yeah. It's how long it's been to watch this film. That I thought was pretty good.
Okay, I didn't really like it. I didn't really care for Zack and Miri that much. I do own it, right. But I didn't really care for that either.
And then he did Red State, didn't he?
Which I liked.
I like Red State.
I did pirate it and watch it fairly soon after it came out. It never really came out here, but
so it was straight to DVD pretty much here, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was actually a bit of an event. I went to my neighbours and watched it. A group of us watched it together. It was like, we got to see this new Kevin Smith film, a departure from his usual, you know, style. But I did like it. I didn't see Tusk, but I think you have.
I've seen Tusk, which I think starts fairly well and then just goes rapidly downhill.
Mm. Okay.
And then I'd read reviews of Yoga Hoses out of curiosity, and all the reviews were like, what the fuck? Mm. And then the, because it's already been out in, it's had like screenings, I think, in America, hasn't it?
It was shown at Sundance Festival.
Yeah.
And he is touring it in the way that he does, you know, his films. Yeah, he takes it to his audience and tours it and does a Q&A and stuff, and people pay over the odds to see the film. But in terms of getting a wide scale cinematic release, it doesn't seem to happen anymore for him.
obviously they've created this trailer to show interest somewhere. I don't know if it's going to get any interest.
Well, he said
I'm sorry, I just can't stand the look of that film.
Well, the trailer that was shown, that came out, he said is not actually the cut that he wanted people to see. It was sent out as a, you know, because as you notice, it's got, you know, foreign language written at the subtitles at the bottom.
Yeah.
It was sent out as a sort of teaser, really, to for distributors and to be distributed in other countries, you know, foreign regions.
Yeah, I see.
So that isn't actually the trailer he wanted people to see. The actual trailer hasn't been released yet.
Ah.
So it's possible, giving him just a smidge of benefit of the doubt, that that you know the next trailer might be okay. I mean, he says there's nothing wrong with that trailer, which is worrying.
Very worrying.
But it's aimed at a tween market as well. You know, a sort of not quite adult, just over teenage market. So like 13, 14, 15, 16, I don't know what age. And it's really a vehicle for his daughter, isn't it?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
You know, Harley Quinn and Johnny Depp's daughter, Lily Rose Depp, yeah. I think.
Is my daughter and her BFF having fun making a movie.
Yeah, and Johnny Depp's in it. And you know, as with Smith, yeah, he always brings back actors from other films. So Haley Joel Osment is in it, who never grew into his face. And Justin Long, who never really developed a career.
It's a shame because he's really funny. I think he's really funny.
Yeah, but no, I don't know. I'm really not interested in seeing it. You know, I'm so off of Kevin Smith films. I thought he made a really good start with Red State on a journey to making sort of a more artistic or artsy sort of film, a bit more gritty, a little bit. I think somewhere in there's a talent for that.
Yeah.
But he seems to have just this again. We've mentioned it a few times, but this idea of like getting stoned, recording a podcast, coming up with an idea, and making a film based on it.
Yeah,
it's just fucking random. yoga hoses. It's about a yoga teacher and some fucking bat-versed sausage that
little Nazi sausage.
Nazi sausage. I'm just bizarre. And then his next film is going to be Moose Jaws. It's Jaws with a moose.
Oh, for fuck. Have him and Muse kind of swapped roles?
Muse actually seems to have got his shit together. He's got a family and he's...
Yeah, Muse has come clean, stopped the drugs.
He's actually acted in stuff that, like, legitimately as an actor, you know, not just his friend's film. Like, he's actually started a career. Yeah, his wife actually runs the whole Smodco stuff behind the scenes. I don't know. Smith has just, really jumped the shark for me. It's bizarre.
And has he still got the Morat sequel lined up?
Apparently Morat's and Clerks 3 are both in the pipelines. Morat's was in development, so they were looking for locations and found a location and everything, but God knows, I don't know. Like, a film that might actually get a widespread distribution or worldwide distribution and might actually make him some proper money. No, he's not making it. He's making fucking Moose Jaws.
Moose Jaws.
Bizarre. I love the podcast. I like what he does, and generally his outlook on things is pretty positive. I love the fact that he's got healthier, he's lost weight, and his movies just bizarre. I can't get on board with it. Anyway, never mind. Let's move on. Let's move on. In the last show, we finished up with Jason Bourne, which you weren't keen on. I'm quite excited about because I like the Jason Bourne movies, but that was last show. Since then, we've had, and we'll go through these fairly quickly because we said that last time, we didn't do that. and we're almost up to an hour already. So Independence Day Resurgence, which comes out, I believe, on June the 24th. I know that because it's my sister's birthday. So what do you think about that?
Looking forward to this one. It's like a big piece of summer popcorn fun.
It's going to be a lot of shit, I think, but fun shit. Lots of spectacle, aliens getting blown up, and probably lots of weird stuff, like strange stuff going on. Probably, I don't know where I was going with that.
Hopefully, no more strange alien hacking with Apple Mac laptops.
yeah. Maybe that's how they came back, because it didn't really work. I dropped a trailer on the website for a film called Approaching the Unknown, and it's sort of the same company I think that brought us Ex Machina. Possibly. I might be wrong. All right. There. Might be wrong there. Mark Strong stars. It's a bit of a Martian-type film. He's a guy on a mission to Mars. It's a solo mission. He's on his own. Something goes wrong. He's told to abort, but he doesn't. He decides to carry on moving onto Mars, and he's got to stay alive, basically. on this solo mission to Mars. Looks okay. I think very early days for that one. I think that trailer came out really as a test in the water thing, maybe ahead of film festival showings. I don't think it's ready for distribution. It'll probably jump into our cinemas and disappear very quickly. Probably. Oh, yeah, dear. In the way of these things. But I don't know, it looks okay. Probably a decent enough film. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows. We've got slutty Megan Fox. We've got Arrow playing Casey Jones. We've got Bebop and Rocksteady. We've got the Turtles. Are you still looking forward to this one?
Yes, we've got these last few trailers. They've introduced a first proper look at Krang.
Krang.
I still think it looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right. Good. I'm actually having to click on the link on the website at the moment. So pause because it's one of your trailer roundups, and I can't remember what's in it. Okay, The Nice Guys.
Yes, I really want to see this one. This one looks really funny.
Okay, I didn't
and violent.
I didn't watch it. I'll be honest, I didn't watch it. What's it about?
It's set in the 1980s.
Okay,
and it's about a very poor detective. He gets recruited to go help look for a girl.
Hmm.
I think it's directed by Shane Black, who did Iron Man 3.
Okay,
and it looks very funny, and also it looks like it could be quite violent as well.
Okay, perfect.
Good combination.
The Nice Guys.
Yes,
that was the one we just said. Yeah, sorry, because there's I missed one. Urge.
Professional journalism.
Always Urge.
Urge. Yes.
Pierce Brosnan.
Pierce Brosnan as I don't know if he's just like the host of the party where these drugs are sold, or if he's actually selling the drugs. Yeah, but it's a drug. You're told you take the drug, you'll have the best time of your life, but you can only take the drug once in your lifetime.
Oh, wow.
So, of course, these kids go, rules, and they take it again. And I'm guessing shit gets worse.
I expect. Yeah, it sounds like it.
I mean, that intrigued me because it's Pierce Brosnan, and we haven't seen him in much recently.
Mm.
And it turns out this is a smaller budget film because not only is it getting a limited cinema release, but it's also going to video on demand the same day. So,
it always worries me when that happens. It's like, yeah, I'm not so sure. Okay, Now You See Me Too.
The first one was quite enjoyable. Quite enjoyed the first one.
I don't know if I remember it. I think I've seen it, but I'm not sure.
Four magicians who. While on stage performing magical tricks, impressing people, they're actually at the same time robbing bank vaults and stuff.
I did see the first one. It was a casino, wasn't it? Something.
I think so, yeah. And there's an Interpol policeman who's chasing them and trying to capture them, but he never can. That's played by Mark Ruffalo.
Mm. Okay, so yeah, I've seen the first one. I think tend to remember that it was quite good. It was all right.
Yeah.
Quite an interesting thing. Okay, Tom Hanks, who I love.
Mm-hmm.
Is back as Robert Langdon in Inferno.
Inferno, an adaptation of another Dan Brown story.
Yeah, I only ever read... Well, no, I read The Da Vinci Code and I read the one that came after that, I think.
Angels and Demons?
Possibly, or maybe it was a different one that came before. I have no idea. But anyway, I've read the books, but I never watched the film. Did they... What was the, they made Angels and Demons, didn't they?
They did, yes.
Did they ever make The Da Vinci Code?
Yeah, that's the first one.
Okay.
That's the one that got everyone excited and probably sent the guy's book sales going through the roof, I expect.
Oh, really? I thought the book was a phenomenon before they made the film.
The book was... I'm sure it helped spur it along quite a bit. I got caught up. I thought, well, if one thinks it's so amazing, I'll read it. And I did read The Da Vinci Code, Angels and Demons. There's one set... There's another one he wrote which didn't get turned into a film. I thought was very good. Inferno, I didn't read this one, so I was quite surprised to hear about this one.
Okay.
This is apparently the fourth book in the series starring the Tom Hanks, Robert Langdon.
Yeah. Okay, well, I like Tom Hanks, but I haven't seen any of these films.
The premise, there's a tagline or a premise I keep seeing it's attached to this film, which is, what do you do? Do you do nothing and let the whole world die, or do you flick the switch to save the world, but half the people will die now?
Oh, wow.
It's like, whoa, bloody hell. That's a decision.
Pretty heavy, isn't it?
It's a bit, yeah.
Glad it's not me in there. Something we missed from our TV, but it's probably not really on our radar. Voltron, we mentioned last time, but there's been a trailer for Voltron Legendary Defender, which got quite a few people excited, bizarrely, on the Twitters and the social medias. And I've never watched Voltron. It was never on my radar.
Is that Netflix on their charge to bring back things people want?
It's a Netflix original. Yeah, it's a DreamWorks animation show. They have bought, obviously, Dragons, Defenders of Burke and Riders of Burke and all that sort of stuff to Netflix exclusive. My kids love all that sort of stuff, but I don't think they'll watch Voltron. But if they want to, it's there. Assassin's Creed, the movie. Michael Fassbender has been getting some stick in this. People are not happy with his casting and apparently not happy with the premise of the film either.
My assessment, based purely on the trailer, is what's your problem? I mean, it looks very faithful to the game in terms of the style and the fighting. But I think the unanimous decision from the internet was, who the fuck picked the music for that trailer?
It was really didn't pop up on my radar. I've not seen.
Is it a Kanye West song or something? It's like, oh Jesus.
Really couldn't tell you.
The other thing I did find, it's got a little people sort of like, is the, I can't remember if it's Michael who said it or the director, but they said 65% of the movie is set in the pseudo future, whenever it is, and only 35% of the movie is set in the past.
Okay.
It's like, oh, because I'm hoping it'd be something like the other way around, because the past stuff looks really interesting.
Yeah, I like all the parkour. The visuals look pretty amazing. I like the colour tone. You know, it all looks pretty swish, but I was a bit like, what the fuck with the big arm thing that's holding him up in the air? And I've not played the games. I've not even seen the games.
Oh, right.
The closest I've come to Assassin's Creed was when I went to see Video Games Live and they played the score with an orchestra.
Yeah.
And there were some visuals on the screen there. I don't know anything about it other than, you know, it's set in the past as far as I know. But, what do I know?
It's the opposite. It's technically set in the future.
Okay, fair enough. I've learned.
They've got this guy, and they say, we can access your ancestors' memories through your DNA. And so he goes into a special machine, they access, and he can be his ancestors in the past and live out memories. And so I presume that's what that big arm was holding him in the air. It's the machine that allows him to
makes sense.
Access his memories.
Fair enough. Okay. In our kids' movies roundup, we failed to mention the BFG.
Oh, yeah.
The Big Friendly Giant. This one's directed by Steven Spielberg. It's a Disney film, and it's a new telling or a reimagination of the classic Roald Dahl story, The Big Friendly Giant, the BFG.
The Big Fat Git, sorry.
I'm not...
That's what I always call it.
I'm not convinced by the BFG and the trailers. I don't know why. It doesn't really fit my mental, how I expected him to sound. And it's you know, I obviously read the books when I was a kid. It had a big influence on me. I really enjoyed the story. My kids have read the BFG now as well. And it's not really what I expected. But I'm sure it'll be fantastic and definitely one that I'd like to take the kids to go and see.
Well, I remember reading the book. I mean, Roald Dahl's a great classic writer. Mm. But I watched the trailer out of curiosity, and it just feels a bit kiddie generic.
Mm.
There's nothing that makes me go, oh, this looks brilliant. I want to see this.
Mm. Well, yeah, I'm sure it's going to be a success. I hope it's good. I'd like to see it. I'd like to take my kids, and I hope they enjoy it. We'll report back, because I'm sure we will definitely go and see that one.
I'll tell you what is changing my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Ghostbusters.
Ah, okay. Well, we've had another trailer.
The
first trailer was the most disliked trailer or clip on YouTube ever.
Yes.
Wow, that speaks volumes, doesn't it?
But then that's probably, as someone else said on the internet, that was probably helped by lots of people going, oh, go put dislike on that trailer.
Mm.
I mean, how many people actually watch a trailer on YouTube and actually bother to do the thumbs up or thumbs down?
okay.
I do on some.
I've started commenting on YouTube stuff a little bit more recently, and it's a really bad thing to do because everyone on there's a fuckwit. But I don't know. An example, there was... Sorry, let's talk about Ghostbusters first, and we'll come back to the YouTube comments.
Yeah, I think, as you just said, I think it's quite unanimous that first trailer was just very disheartening, very sort of, OMG, what have they done?
I wasn't offended by it as in so much as it just seemed really cheap. And
I think for me, it's the jokes. The jokes are really bad.
They've just kind of, down the really easy route with everything.
But I say there's been a second trailer, and there's been an international trailer as well, which features some new stuff in it. And these second and third trailers, I think they must have fired the original marketing guy and got someone else in, because they're a lot better.
Mm.
They're cut together better. There's still the odd bad joke in there, but it's really growing on me.
Okay.
I'm thinking this actually might be not bad.
Not bad. Okay. Wow.
But then there's the other part that says, but don't forget those bad jokes you saw in the first trailer. they'll still be in the movie. They're not gone.
They're still there.
They're still there.
Okay. From something we're not sure about to something that we were very positive about in its first season. Again, it's TV. It's Mr. Robot, a season.
Oh yes.
_ 2.0, which I like.
I love the fact that all the episode names are like a weird. Actual sort of geeky things.
Yeah, yeah.
Like episode 2.mov or something, you know.
Exactly, yeah, that's cool. I'm looking forward to it. It's kind of strange. I think they shot themselves in the foot a little bit by not predicting how popular this program was going to be. Because by the end of season one, you thought, well, I'm not really sure where they can take it from here. And I think they had that dilemma, and they just resolved it by saying, oh, you can't remember anything. Let's start again. And so, the Christian Slater character, who you expected not to return in season two, is returning.
Yeah.
And as are most of the cast from the original, with a few additions. So interested to see where it goes. I hope they can sort of maintain the grittiness and the reality of it, in a way where it doesn't start to sort of, crawl up its own arse and become a little bit too self-aware, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, just checking. It's due to return on the USA Network on Wednesday the 13th of July.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be on Amazon Prime here, as the first season was in its entirety, very shortly after. Because they're still advertising it. If you go to websites, if you go onto IMDb, you still see adverts for it. So, I'm pleased to see that's coming back.
And also, interesting, if you saw it, CBS posted a little Star Trek tease for the new series.
This is what I commented on YouTube. I was incensed that somebody was on there just saying, this is going to be shit.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
It's a fucking logo.
It's a logo reveal.
That's all you've seen.
Is it a logo reveal, and it says something like new ships,
new crew,
new worlds. Planets, new worlds? Yeah. And the new look Star Trek logo, and it's like coming in 2017 to CBS streaming, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And then you just said you've got people going, this is going to be shit, when they don't know a single thing about it.
Right. The person who said this was going to be shit qualified their comment by saying, J.J. Abrams fucked up the reboot. They're boring. I couldn't follow the plot. The best bit about but either of those films was Alice Eve changing in the shuttle. So the only thing you can actually grasp about these films is semi-nudity. Very simple plots. Oh, he said it took me forever to figure out that it was an alternative dimension or alternative timeline. It's like, for fuck's sake, you are a fucking simpleton.
Jesus Christ.
So I felt compelled to just comment on that. So
did you end up in a little flame war there?
No, I think the idiot couldn't quite grasp what I was saying, but
he's dribbling too much to type on the keyboard.
Quite possibly, fapping over pictures of Alice Eve. I'm all for a Star Trek series. I love personally the reboots. I think they're really good. I'm very nervous about this third instalment that's being directed by, Lin?
Justin Lin.
He's done a really good deed lately. I think, he's got people on board a little bit. There's this fan film Star Trek.
Star Trek. Axanor. Yeah, I think that's it.
I don't know how you pronounce it, but he apparently has been quite key in having Paramount drop the law case against them for.
Yes, I'm sure the Kickstarter people are quite happy about that as well.
Yeah,
they raised like just over $1 million to get that fan film made.
I mean, you know, again, they're victims of their own success, really, aren't they? If you can raise $1 million to make a fan film, then how much of a fan film does it remain being? Do you know what I mean? It's like, if you've got a budget of some people's movies, like actual movies, where does it overstep the mark and stop being a fan film and become an actual production of Star Trek, in the Star Trek universe? So, I kind of see it from both ways, but I'm really pleased that they've dropped that case and that film, it looks like it's going to go ahead. Yeah.
Well, that reminds me, slightly off tangent, but that reminds me of a really wacky YouTube story recently. These guys, I think it's a basketball game on the NES. There's a glitch where you can score 3 points every time you go for the basket or something along those lines. Mm. And they filmed it and put it on YouTube, and this was in 2009. Mm. The most recent episode of Family Guy that just aired in the States, Peter is playing this game with his friends and he decides to use this glitch to cheat.
All right.
And Fox took the footage directly from this YouTube video and stuck it in the episode.
Oh, wow.
Now, the next day or the day after it was aired, they've got there's 20th Century Fox YouTube bots or something that scour YouTube looking for their material because they don't want their shows pirated all over YouTube. And it came across the original clip of this game that they used and slapped a DCMA thing on it and had it taken down.
Wow, that's shit, isn't it?
Luckily, I think the guys must have complained of something or Fox went, sorry, it's all automated. We didn't mean that to happen. Mm. And they got the video reinstated.
The YouTube is a fucking minefield for copyright claim, for anything. Mm. It's so disheartening when you put something up and even before it's finished fucking uploading, you've got a copyright claim on it.
Hmm.
And we premiered a video for Megaran, the nerdcore rapper.
Yeah.
And it's like he gave that video to me. He was like, do you want to premiere it? You've got an exclusive. You premiere it on your website. It's like, yes. I got hit with a copyright claim on it. It's like he fucking gave it to me. we managed to overturn that because you do get that the video does stay up as if you dispute it and you have evidence to say why. So but YouTube is fucking infuriating at times. But anyway, so back to Star Trek. We've got a look at the third film directed by this Justin Lin, who has previous with Fast and Furious.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still fucking concerned that there's a motorbike chase in this film. Like, when in the fuck have you ever seen a motorbike chase in Star Trek?
I'm sure there's a perfectly logical reason it's there.
Well, yes, Spock, you would think so, wouldn't you? But I don't know. I just feel so out of place.
This second trailer was a lot better. I'm sure probably in the meantime, as usual with these things, more stuff was ready to be shown in terms of special effects. But this second trailer was more interesting than the first one. It's like, oh, this looks like this is going to be another good Star Trek film.
I do hope so. I mean, the rest of it looks great. The visuals look in keeping with the previous two of the rebooted franchise. And
another little niggle, though. The Enterprise getting destroyed again.
I saw a synopsis. I don't know how authentic and legitimate it is, but mm-hmm. It says the Enterprise is almost destroyed. And obviously they're on their first, this is their first a year or of their 5-year mission, an exploration into deep space, or their first voyage into deep space. They're on an exploratory mission.
I noticed that. So what are the backtrack a little. What are the first two films? The first ones is he just gets the Enterprise because the captain gets killed.
Yeah, well, Captain Pike gets injured. He's not. He's killed. And
Pike's in the second one as well.
Pike's in the second one. Yeah, he becomes an admiral, I think. The first one's really about them graduating Starfleet Academy and thrust into a situation where they have to step up and take the lead.
Yeah, that's it.
The second one's really about them proving themselves and actually, Captain Kirk loses command of the ship because he hasn't followed rules. He hasn't done what he's supposed to, and again has to prove himself. By the end, by the end of that film, you know they've proven themselves and they've been given the Enterprise, and now they're about to set off on their 5-year mission. They've been trusted by the ship for 5 years deep exploration. Uncharted space. So this film, it is about them going beyond. It's called Star Trek Beyond. It's into uncharted space, and they come across what looks to be a very destructive force. But Idris Elba is the main antagonist, as with lots of black actors and actresses, you can't tell who they are because they're so heavily made up. Yeah, bizarre. It's a point that's been raised a few times, but I'm sure he'll do really well because he's a fantastic actor. Okay, the last trailer that we should talk about that's been out since the last time we did a show is Connor for Real, a failing pop star, which really isn't floating my boat, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I mean, I've sort of been following these guys for a while. I mean, there's three guys, Andy, Akiva, and Jorma, who started writing and appearing in sketches for Saturday Night Live. And they started doing musical sketches with songs such as Dick in a Box. What's the one that went really big? Sunday Afternoon, which is like a rap song about watching the Chronicles of Narnia at the cinema. Really, I find really catchy, funny sort of hip hop stuff. And they've done three albums since then as well.
Okay.
They've made, each of them have sort of gone their own sort of little way behind the scenes. I mean, Andy Samberg's currently in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is a fantastic series. That's really funny.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is their second movie they've worked together on as the Lonely Island, like a second Lonely Island movie. And yeah, it's about Andy Samberg playing this guy who calls himself Connor for Real. And he has a first album that sends him into megastardom and everyone thinks he's brilliant, but he releases his second album and apparently it's just complete shit. But and so it's sort of a story of how he's trying to keep himself famous and how he handles that sort of failure.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, I mean, yeah, give it the benefit of the doubt. I mean, the first trailer, it was all right. I mean, yeah, I found it funny.
Yeah.
I don't know, for some reason the whole idea isn't really capturing my imagination. But we'll give it the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
Right. Well, anything else you'd like to discuss, John?
I think I have reached my monthly limit.
Right, me too. So go away. We're finished. We're done. Thanks for accidentally clicking on this podcast. This has been Betamax and Laserdisc, the TV and movie podcast from theunheardnerd.com. You can find me, my name is Will. I'm on Twitter at theunheardnerd. You can find John on Twitter, it's at UKFilmNerd. You can find us on Facebook, it's facebook.com/, you guessed it, theunheardnerd. And you can email us at theunheardnerd@gmail.com. And if you like our nerdy ramblings and writings, please head over to theunheardnerd.com and leave comments, talk to us, tweet at us and Facebook message us and email us. We'd like your interaction.
We know you read the site. We've got proof.
Yeah, there's definitely, definitely something and a few bots going on there and reading.
I mean, you can have both ways. I had one tweet saying thank you for my Waterworld series of articles, which I thought was very nice.
Yes.
The only tweet. and on the other hand, you can write a Star Wars article and get two angry Star Wars fans commenting on your stuff.
You can indeed. Actually, bizarrely, you facilitate the most responses on this website, I think. people are either rally behind what you're saying or violently oppose it. I'm happy either way.
I just like responses. I like confirmation that people are reading and enjoying what we do.
Well, what we should do is come up with a competition for listeners of the podcast, and anyone that comments on the on the website gets entered into a draw, and we give them a prize. I think that's doable. I haven't got one yet, so listen next time, and maybe we'll have that.
Terms and conditions apply. The actual prize may be involved.
We haven't done a giveaway for a while. We had a nice run of giveaways, and We haven't had anything for a while, so maybe I need to start.
Especially HBO ring, they're always chucking stuff our way, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, they're the most popular supplier of presents, I think.
It's gone a little quiet. I mean, season 6 is on at the moment, so you know, people are watching it anyway. They don't need to promote it so much.
Yeah.
But when the Blu-ray release comes around, you bet there'll be stuff. You know it. But yeah, we'll work on that. I need to get onto contacts, but... That was nice. We got a new contributor to the website. We got Jeff, who's helping with the music side of things now, which has been a little bit neglected recently. So all good stuff. It's not Jeffy Jeff. Hi Jeff.
Hi Jeff.
MC Jeffy Jeff Hunter Jeff. And but it's another Jeff. Sorry, we're cheating on you, Jeff, with another Jeff. But anyway, enough of that shit. We've done. We're finished. Go away. Bye.
Bye.
UnheardNerd.com.